Someone's coming out,
Brun told her. A makeshift white flag emerged from the sewer. It appeared to be an article of clothing. A cotton shirt with the words, Frankie says relax, in black human script, attached to a bamboo cane.
They're surrendering,
Brun whispered.
We won.
Wait here. Unseal the hatch.
But, General, they may have gas bombs or...
Do it!
With a hiss, the hatch unlocked. Oryx twisted the handle and swung the door open. The air was gritty and dusty, tinged with acrid smoke and gunpowder. She pulled her scarf over her snout and mouth. From the drain, she saw Arvi emerge, holding his flag. It took everything she had not to cry out and run to him. She'd long since thought him dead. There he was, alive. As Arvi crawled out into the rubble, he was followed by a human woman. She had yellow head fur and wore a long grey coat. She didn't look like a soldier at all. Her trousers finished halfway up her legs, for one thing. She too stumbled onto the plaza, her arms aloft in surrender. Behind her came an elderly human male and a face she recognised well. Alex Blaine, the resistance leader. Faintly, she heard snipers ready their weapons. Her soldiers had them entirely covered on all sides.
I said, hold your fire, or I will have your pelts,
she yelled. She would not risk her only son. Not now that she had this second chance.
How? How was this possible?
Oryx slid over the front of the tank and dropped down in the debris. She established that Blaine didn't appear to be holding a gun, but that meant nothing. He'd killed many, many Loba in his time.
Mother?
Arvi began. Oryx said nothing because she didn't trust herself not to cry, and that would be unforgivable in front of her troops. Her cub was fully grown now, taller than her. They were still unmistakably mother and cub, however. Same eyes, same thick, shaggy chestnut fur.
Mother, I...
Suddenly, the human woman interrupted him, stepping between them. Up close, she was slight, impish.
I'm sorry, but would you look at the state of this?
She twirled around, waving her arms at the ruins.
Look at all this mess.
As she spun closer, Oryx drew her gun.
Stay where you are. Freeze!
But look at all this mess,
the woman said again, her eyes wide. Oryx wondered if maybe she was intoxicated.
I won't warn you again.
Look at it!
This time, it was a demand. The human woman, somehow, was now almost nose to nose with her.
What do you mean?
Just what I said. Look at the mess.
She snorted. For the first time, Oryx looked at her feet. Scattered around her gleaming boots was all sorts of junk from the old marketplace. The woman, with yellow fur, squatted down for a split second and bounced back up holding a chipped mug.
Look.
Oryx sighed. She didn't have time for this.
It's a cup.
It's a blue cup.
I see that.
Probably belonged to someone, don't you think?
She pointed at the ruins.
From one of those homes, I should think. I wonder if it was someone's favourite mug. I wonder if every morning, without fail, they wake up and make a lovely cup of tea in their favourite blue mug. I can't start the day without a cup of tea in my favourite mug. Can you?
What?
I like Yorkshire tea the best. What about you?
Far away, on the other side of Kanda City, Yaz and Ryan crouched in the dark radio tower. It reeked of damp. Water ran down the black walls and wind howled through the corridors. This high up, it felt like the tower was swaying back and forth in the gusts. Trying to ignore seasickness, Yaz could hardly believe Edwards had got this wreck to work. The young soldier looked out of the broken window with his binoculars. He can't have been more than 14 years old, Yaz thought to herself.